Well, here we are. We're back from vacation, and very good to be together with all of you. And what I'm going to do this morning is start a few weeks on some of the names of Jesus. And some of them will be familiar, and some of them not used quite so much. So today I want to look at Lord as the name of Jesus. We saw it in the Gospel, as well as a reference to it in the first reading. And then we'll look at some other names, the Amen, the Stone, the Anchor, and then the last week that we look at those names, I want to look at compare the Son of God and the Son of Man as titles of Jesus. All of these things mean something to us, to our daily lives, and to the way that we practice our faith. And so that's what I want to unpack with us over the next few weeks. And so today, as I was thinking about Lord, it reminded me of a story. It's actually a true thing. It never actually happened, but a friend of mine said, you know, it would be great if we did this. And I forget if I told you this or not, but you might have forgot it too, so I'm taking the chance on that. When we lived in Arizona, I had a friend in Phoenix, another pastor, and he said, don't you think it would be something if a few of us got together and we drove down to Tucson? That's a two-hour drive, you know, through the desert and everything. We drove to Tucson, and we just parked our cars, hid the keys, and went on our own separate ways for 2 days just to see what the Lord would do. Now, I had to admit, I was not immediately attracted to that idea. But it demonstrates at least his willingness to think about what it would be to live with Jesus as your Lord to the degree that you need him for absolutely everything. In fact, that's what it is. That's the description of what it is to have Jesus as your Lord, is you're living in such a manner that if he doesn't provide it, it's not going to happen. Okay, is everyone all right? Yeah, okay, good. Good. So, you know, what does that mean? How does that work for us? It works in a few different ways. As you know, in America, we don't have the equivalent of a Lord. We don't use the word Lord very much. And in England, as Richard and Hetty would tell you, there's the House of Lords. And, you know, so there's lords all over the place. our diocesan bishop would, if we were in England, would be in the House of Lords. And so we'd call him the Lord Bishop of, you know, Virginia or whatever. But we don't have that here. That just is not the way that it is. And in Jesus' day, and when we come across the word Lord in the Gospels and in the Scriptures, there were a variety of uses. So you would use Lord, for example, if you just came upon a stranger as you're walking along, and you say, Lord, what's happening, or whatever. And then if there was the owner of a house, that person would be called Lord, or a business, or that sort of thing. And then, of course, there was the Roman emperor. And for a lot of years, you know, just a long period of time, the emperor was considered kind of the first among equals of all citizens. And then that things kind of got a little more focused, you might say, in the office of the emperor of Rome until finally we have Caesar, who was demanding that every Roman citizen would bring incense to Rome, sacrifice to him, and call him Lord and God. And of course, the Christians did not do that. And that the persecution deepened because of that, went on that way, but they just would not do that. And you can read some stories of just some awful times for the Christian church in that period. Now, Jesus was in that entire atmosphere of the way Lord was used at that time. And so he was called Lord, as we saw here, and he never stopped. He never said, don't call me Lord. Just don't do that. He always received that title. It was his name. And in fact, in the first reading today, what we see is this. As you have received, very first sentence there, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So there is an assumption about what it is to be a Christian. And the first one is this: you have received Jesus as your Lord, as the one to whom everything is due, who all worship is due, all thanksgiving is due, all of that is due. You give that to him because he's your Lord, and then you follow him in your life to the degree where you are always in a situation where if he doesn't come through, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And that's what Paul is saying here. As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, then there's something that you do. You continue to live your lives in him. And it's very, very tempting. And it is for me, I'm assuming that it is for you, to say, well, yes, I've received Jesus as my Lord, and then not live my life in him. I would much prefer to say, well, you know, I thought of this myself. I mean, I went to school and now I can do this. I have this talent. I have this ability. Or I'm able to pay for this myself. Or I don't have to think about it too much. I can just do it. That's living with me as my Lord and not Jesus as my Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, it's all very convicting, and Paul says a little bit else here which will help us get out of feeling guilty and terrible about the way that we live. We're not continuing our lives in him. He says, continue your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So, if you're living in Christ as Lord, one of the things that you're doing is you are rooted and built up in him. Now, that's not something that you do all by yourself. In fact, you can't do any of that. You just can't be rooted in Christ all by yourself. I mean, think about it. A gardener or a farmer must take the seed and plant it. The seed cannot be in the bag thinking, hey, you know what? I'm going to take myself right on out to that garden. I'm going to put myself in the ground, and then I'm going to get my roots to go on down, and I'm going to say I did this all by myself. You just can't be rooted all by yourself. It's not something that you do. It's something that Jesus provides for you, like the gardener or the farmer would provide for the seed. Okay, so let's keep going on here. Rooted, you'd be built up. You're built up in Christ. When you've received him as Lord, one of the things that you do is you seek to be built up. Now, I mean, it's the same thing with the building. You know, let's say you buy a lot and you want to build a new house. And so what happens is the lumber and the concrete and the glass and the windows and just everything about it, the shingles for the roof, all of it, the paint, they do not get together and say, let's go on over there and by our own ability and our own strength, we'll become a house. What do you say? Let's go do it. You're just not built up all by yourself. The builder has to get the lumber and the concrete prepare the lot and do all the things that have to do for the building, and then bring all the things together so that all those pieces become a building. Well, that's what Jesus does for us. He provides for us everything we need to be built up. And what we want to do to follow him as Lord is to get into that situation and that place in our lives all the time where we need him to build us up, because we're following after him. In fact, I think it's true that if Jesus asked you to do something, you're not going to be able to do it unless he's empowering you and providing for you. And I'm just pretty sure that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not in heaven looking, let's just say, Sue, oh, Sue, she can do this. Let's just ask her to go ahead and do a favor for us. I just don't think that happens. That you just get called and to do something that you have no power to do so that the Spirit of God can supply that power. That's what it is to live as Jesus as your Lord. And it goes all the way through with all of these. The same is also true for being established in the faith. established meaning. You're always there. No matter what happens, you're there in the faith. You have a response of faith. You're ready to go with what Jesus wants you to go. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not 100% on that. I'm probably not even 50% on that. Stuff happens, and I have a response that comes that is not established in the faith. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, great, good. Thank you. Because I figured that's what's happening with you too. You just, have a negative thought, pop off, whatever it might be, and that's not in the faith. You gotta have Jesus draw you into the faith all the time, or else you're just not going to be there. And looking for that, wanting for that to happen, is what it is to live in Him, with Him as Lord. Okay. All right, let me go from there. Because there are some things that can keep us from that are not as natural, that He will bring to our minds so that we can, in His power, turn from them to Him, from those items to Him. And one of the ways of looking at it is this. If there is anything that you think is more important than everything else, and it's not Jesus, you may not be living with Him as your Lord. I mean, is there anything that you think is more important than everything else? It is the most important thing, and that thing is not Jesus. What He's asking you to do is to put Him in the first place and the other things to take their place under His Lordship. And He'll guide us in that. He will say, okay, you feel like this is more important than everything else. I understand, but when it comes right down to it, actually Jesus will say to you, actually I am more important than anything else. And that's the way it is. But I will help you prioritize your life. I will help you form and shape your life so that you will be able to follow Me as I'm calling you to. And the things that you think are important, well, they're not evil. But there's a way for you, when you follow Me, to hold on to them. And He will lead you in that. And that can be a big deal in some cases, but that's the way that it works. Is there anything that you think will give you peace, and that thing is not Jesus? Jesus will say to you, I am your peace. But I understand what you're saying and thinking and feeling about this, that you think will give you peace. I will give you peace, and that will fall into place in your life. Or maybe there's something you think will give you fulfillment. If I just had this, I'd be completely fulfilled. And that's not Jesus. Jesus will say to you, I am your fulfillment. I am your all in all. And then everything else that you're looking for, it'll fall into place as I become your top priority. That's what it is to live with Him as Lord. That's what it is to call Him Lord. We see it in the Gospels today when the disciples showed up and said, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, we want to pray to You. We want You to tell us how to pray to You because we think that that's the best way to go. Which is a little different from, Lord, these are my prayers and I'd like You to accept them. And of course He'll listen to that. And of course He'll respond. But it'll keep drawing you to the place where He's saying, this is how I want you to pray. Because we, having received Him as Lord, we continue to live in Him. That's how that works. Now, all of this sounds a bit grandiose, perhaps, and it is. It's a huge, huge thing for Him to be Lord. But what we're doing is We're living in Him. Walking with Him is one of the biblical pictures. It's not like we're trying to... you won't mind this, Patty. It's not like we're trying to jump over the Grand Canyon in one step. It's one step at a time, living with Jesus as Lord. And so, you know, what step does He want you to take? And in my own life, it's going like this. I would say it was... Maybe it was the day before yesterday. I don't know, my circadian rhythm is still somewhere over the Atlantic. You know, it'll catch up. It was the day after yesterday, I think. In other words, I'm reading the scriptures in the morning, and there is the story of Jesus sending out the disciples two by two. Familiar story to many of us. But what really struck me was this verse, "Take nothing for the journey." You know, I had just done some traveling, and I'd tell you, we did not take nothing for the journey. Carrying stuff. Throw your back out carrying it all. But there it is. And I just sensed the Spirit of God saying to me, your season in life has changed. And as you go into the new season, take nothing for the journey. Now, it's fairly obvious how the season in life has changed. Carol's mom was the last one of our four parents who was alive. You know, as many of you know, when your last parent dies, something happens in your life. There's something shifts. And so that is shifting for us. And the Spirit of God is saying to me, take nothing for that journey. I will supply it the whole way along. Each step that you take. I mean, you know, it's very tempting, as it might have been, might be for you, to think, well, okay, let's see. Do I have my affairs in order? You know, is everything set up for me financially? Am I ready to stay here? What about the other plans? To just, you know, map it all out from here on out. And Jesus is saying, take nothing for that journey. So to live, for me to live in Him as my Lord, what I would do is this, hopefully. I mean, hopefully I would do this. So that's what I want the Spirit of God to remind me to do this. When it comes to my mind, oh, you know, this is where we are now. This is the stage of life we're in. I should be planning this. It's not to say, oh, don't plan that. That's not faithful. It is to say, Lord, what would you have me do in this area? That way the seed that's in there is rooted. The foundation of the building that's being built is coming together by the Spirit of God. That's what I want. And that's just one step. One step. So you follow Jesus as Lord one step at a time. And that makes all the difference for our lives. Just that discipline, that way of doing things. Even just asking the Spirit of God, you know, please tell me what you want me to do and give me the step to take it. And He will provide everything for that. Now, I know some people will say, well, what if I miss it? What if I don't hear it? What if I don't catch it? What if He tells me and I forget it? You will not be kicked out of the house of God. God will still love you. God will tell you again. He doesn't mind reminding you. I mean, other people might mind reminding you, but He doesn't. And He will remind you all the time. He'll keep coming back. The voice of God is sometimes called an echo. It'll keep echoing in your soul. So here's what I think are some excellent steps to take. Number one is be tuning in to God. Just turn to God and He will turn to you. Say, what do you want me to hear? A And okay, what step do you want me to take? That's very familiar to us. But that is the bedrock foundation of living with Jesus as your Lord. Some of us do a prayer walk across the street here in Reader's Branch. And we just walk down there trying to pay attention to God. And we come back and we say, well, what impressions did you get? No one has gotten a long epistle at this point written out. You know, nothing in stone. Just what impression did you get? And that's what we keep going back to God with. You can get that in any area of your life at all. By the way, anybody's free tomorrow at 5, we're going to do it again. Just come right here, we'll pray, and we'll walk down there and come back and say, well, what impression did you get? It'll be great. The second thing is watching each other. How do you see God in each other? Not how do you see what does God need to change in each other, but what do you see of God in each other? That will open you up to living with Him as Lord. That seed that's planted in you, it'll water that seed. And then, where do you see God in the world? Where do you see Him out wherever you go? Food Lion, McDonald's, wherever you go to eat, you know, driving around. But whatever, where do you see God? And it'll just be an impression. But just take that. That'll help you live with Him as Lord. Now, for those of you who've noticed, those three steps are up, in, and out. Just keep looking for that. And you'll be able to live with Him as Lord. Rooted. Built up. Established. And abounding in thanksgiving for what He's done. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are our Lord. We thank you that you are Lord of all. We ask that You would open our eyes more to see Your presence, open our ears to hear Your voice. Help us to live in You continually as our Lord, all for the glory of Your name. Amen.